Hey everyone, it's me, Tammy Ann. I'm the content developer and social media marketer for LifeSquad.com. Today is our debut franchising podcast, and I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Angela Cote, and she is from Cultivate Advisors. Today, we will be discussing what it takes to run a successful franchise. But first, Angela, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Tammy, and I just have to say how excited I am to be here. And I just love how we were able to pull this together in such, you know, such short notice. You guys are rock stars there. I see that you're a real make it happen kind of culture. So first, quick shout out for that.
Thank you.
So this is fun. So my backstory is that I grew up with the brand M&M Food Market, formerly called M&M Meat Shop. I was 5 years old when my dad started the company. And so I've people that have heard me, you know, on podcasts before have heard this, that I've done everything from dressing up as Kelly Kebab at grand openings to helping get franchises up and running all across Western Canada in the late 90s. And in that role, I learned a lot about just, you know, supporting franchisees and helping them, be profitable and, you know, stick to their business plan. So I learned a lot about what works and what doesn't in franchise relations. And on top of that, became a multi-unit franchisee in 2000 on Vancouver Island. I opened 3 stores in a year and a half and got the chain up and running there on the franchisee side. After getting kind of restless and kids getting a little bit older and my husband was running our stores, I realized I had learned something about franchising. Can you believe it? So people were coming to me in my local community. This was maybe about 4 years ago and asking me like, oh, would you mind going and talking? Like, this was when I wasn't doing yet what I do now.
Right.
They would say like, oh, do you mind going talking to a friend of mine who is thinking of franchising their business and they're trying to figure it out. And so I did a couple of those kind of coffee meetings just, you know, while I was networking and trying to figure out my next steps. So it sort of just became clear that there was this need in the market for people that were thinking of using the franchise model, or even some that had started already and were coming to me and saying, oh my goodness, like, I don't know what to do. So I decided to start my own, sort of consulting business. I called myself a franchise growth catalyst. And so I started helping people that were trying to figure out franchising. And then the other area that I found a gap in the marketplace in the franchise world was people helping franchisors that have franchisees that are not engaged or even disgruntled with the brand, and helping lift the hood on that and look at like what's actually going on there, and let's see if we can turn this around and make this make this better and or help the franchisee exit with honor as opposed to, you know, getting into legal action and that sort of thing.
Right.
So that took me, sorry, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll try to cap it off. And I always say like the elevator kind of keeps going. And so the escalator pitch, I'm like, elevator's hit the 21st floor here, yeah. But I'm coming to a close. So in August of this past year, I joined, teamed up with a company called Cultivate Advisors. So I'm now with that company. And the reason I did that is because Cultivate Advisors specializes in helping small businesses with growth. And I could see that that would be an amazing complement to the work I was doing with my early franchisor clients who needed help getting, you know, their house in order, getting the system set up and getting organized with, you know, how do you set up a proper recruitment funnel so we can teach franchisees, you know, how to recruit staff and how to do the things they need to do. So it really made sense on that level. And then also because the franchisors that I work with that are more established, their franchisees are small business owners and can tap into the tools and resources that we have at Cultivate. So that is my story. How did I do?
Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome what you're doing. When it comes to owning a business, one of the first decisions people make is whether to own a franchise or not. What are some pros and cons to running a franchise that you think our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, so I just want to clarify, are we talking about like becoming a franchisee of a business?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the probably most obvious, but important to note is, the value of, you know, being a part of a brand. And in some cases, if it's an early franchisor, the brand may not be that well established yet, but you might see that there's a lot of opportunity for that brand and have passion for what the brand is doing. So getting that brand that's already out there, for sure the support of the franchisor that they're going to give you in running your business. You know, so many people, there's the sort of age old question is, do I need to have business experience to become a franchisee? And some franchisors are looking for people that are a little bit more business savvy, but at the end of the day, the franchisor, I think the best thing to do is find franchisees that are passionate and have the right traits, and then be able to support them on running the business. So, you know, getting that business support is definitely an advantage as a franchisee. And then one of my favorites is the opportunity to be part of a collaborative team of people that are running the same business as you.
Right.
You know, so you have that opportunity, right, to reach out and say like, hey, you know, what are you doing that works for marketing in your local community?
Right.
You know, yeah. So that's like awesome. Those, I guess, are those are the kind of the three main ones that I would say why to join a franchise. Of course, you know, one of the downsides that's probably kind of on the obvious side is if you're not comfortable with having to be part of a system where you have to follow rules, that can be tough. So I think it's a really good idea for a person that's thinking of becoming a franchisee to do some self assessment on looking at times in your life that you've been, you know, maybe on a team or in a situation where you had to work with other people and do something that maybe wasn't the way you would do it.
Right.
You know, so really assess whether you're kind of more of a rule follower, or are you a creative spirit that always wants to change things and make things better? Because if that's the case, then you probably should just go start your own business.
Right. That's very true. We talk about that in one of our articles that we do on our website called Franchising mm-hmm. versus Non-Franchising. We cover in depth, and that's a really key deciding factor is how much control do you want to have over the decisions you make? Because ultimately a franchise, there's a little more rules to follow versus, you know, you're on your own, you hit the ground running, and you're you know, it is what you make it. It's up to you. It's all up to you versus having that, like you said, mm-hmm. support and help. So
thanks, and I would add, yeah, I was just going to add in too, if it's okay, that, you know, there's ways that you can, what I call, scratch your entrepreneurial itch as a franchisee. So it's not to say that you know, you can't be creative. You know, I like to make sure people understand that there's ways within your, you know, it usually comes down to how you do your local marketing. So, right. You know, whether that's, if you're an extrovert and you love people, maybe, you know, going out and networking, but if you don't love people and you're, you know, not, that's not your thing, then, you know, what are some other things? Maybe it's, you know, you have your, some reps from your franchise, you know, your employees go to an event or something, but being creative in that sense is always an option, but it has to fall obviously within the parameters of the brand. So that's always a good assessment to make. And then just one last kind of downside can be if you are an impatient person, it can be difficult at times in a franchise because sometimes, you know, you might have a great idea and it takes a little bit of time till things kind of trickle through the system until it can be implemented. So, you know, it can, you have to have patience.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are very valid points. Thank you so much. And just to expand mm-hmm. a little bit on what you were saying about the local. So like most successful franchises, we have an in-house marketing team at our headquarters here, and that give our franchisees mm-hmm. the tools they need to grow their business. But we do recommend, like you were saying, that they do market at a local level as well. What are some suggestions you have for any franchisees who might be listening right now on how they can grow at a local level?
I love this. Is one of my favorite things to talk about. And I think just the reason I get excited about this topic is that it's kind of sad that I think there's a little bit of a myth out there. I actually am trying to bust the myth that, you know, franchising is turnkey, because I think it leads to or the wrong expectations that you're just going to turn on a sign in your business. You know, at M&M Meat Shop, you know, even though it was like we got to almost 500 units across the country, well established, you know, I've often heard people call it an iconic Canadian brand, we still didn't just sit there and wait for business to come.
Right.
You know, we still had to go out into the community and you know, put money, marketing dollars out there, you know. So, I get really excited to talk about this and help inspire franchisees. First and foremost, to understand, just to make sure that they understand that it is their responsibility and a big reason for the franchise model, why franchisors choose the model, is that they want to have people in the local communities out there building business.
Right.
If they didn't need that, they would just have, you know, get all the revenue back to themselves, run it corporately, put a manager in place, and, you know, it just goes on autopilot. But the whole idea is somebody that's boots on the ground in the local market has that opportunity to go build business. So to answer then, you know, what can franchisees do? First of all, have the right mindset.
Right.
That it is, you do own this responsibility. It is your business. You are responsible for building. You know, the franchisor will support you, and there's usually an ad fund or marketing fund that's going to contribute. But being clear that, like, I can't just sit in my you know, office or store or whatever it is and wait for business. That's number one. But then on sort of a more tactical level, I always like to help people understand that find the thing that you will actually do. You know, like if a franchisor is trying to tell a franchisee, you know, to use this tool, here's, you know, go do networking. And the person doesn't know how to do that, or it's not for them, they're never going to do it.
Right.
Right. So, you know, if that's the case, I mean, there may be a need for some additional coaching on how to do networking, mm-hmm. and that may exist, but, I think really, yeah, finding out the thing that works for you. And, I think really just getting creative. I have a little story that my dad back in the early days of M&M, first year in business, and it was around Halloween, and my parents went and bought 100 pumpkins, and they brought them to at the time there was one store. I was probably sitting in the back coloring, quote unquote, working child labor, but just coloring or something. And they bought these pumpkins and they brought them to the local elementary school and had the kids carve the pumpkins. And then they brought them back and put them out on the boulevard in front of the store. And so you can imagine that, you know, not only did people stop and want to kind of come see these pumpkins and kind of go ask what's going on here, but even more importantly, the parents of the kids who carved the pumpkins, who is exactly our target market, well, their kids were saying, hey, can we go see my pumpkin at M&M Meat Shop? And so now they're drawing in the parents, and right. While they're there, it's like, oh, well, while you're here, here's a sample of our summer sausage or our brownies.
Right.
And so would you like to come into the store? So my point there is to get creative, mm-hmm. and remember that grassroots, like in this day of social media is super important. As you know, I'm all over it.
Right.
And I think really, you know, building up a personal presence on there is great. I have lots of tricks and tips on that. If anybody wants to reach out to me, we'll talk about that after. But, you know, that's important. But I think a nice combination of boots on the ground, grassroots, combined with, you know, some paid digital marketing is probably a really good strategy.
Awesome. Those are all great suggestions. Now, there's a lot of amazing franchises to choose from. How does one even start to narrow it down? Do you have any tips when it comes to the selection process?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's funny because some people will say different. There's different schools of thought on this, but in my opinion, it's so important to have passion for what you're doing, and you will be more successful if you have passion for it. And so while it's important to think of it as, you know, understand that when you're investing that, you know, it is an investment. First and foremost, I think you have to really feel connected to the brand. So if you're looking at, like for example, I had somebody once ask me, she said, you know, we're thinking of seeing about, like, there's this community on the island here on Vancouver Island where I live, that is a sort of smaller community, and there's no ice cream shop. And she's like, we were thinking we should maybe get an ice cream shop, like be a franchise of an ice cream shop, franchisee. What are some things that we should be thinking about? And I said, well, does that get you, like, does running an ice cream shop sound really exciting and fun to you? Like, do you have passion for that? And the more we dug into it, it really wasn't a thing that maybe like made sense for this couple.
Right.
And so that, you know, she was thinking, oh, we're just filling a need in the market. Well, that's great. But, you know, 2 years in, when you're dealing with like the entry level staff that keep quitting on you, and yeah. You can't find labor, and your hands are cold because you've been scooping or whatever. And, you know, you're dealing with seasonality, you get frustrated in the winter, you know, that's going to come crashing down on you, in my opinion.
Right.
So I think finding something that you're really passionate for, but at the same time, being open to, you know, sometimes people will say like, I'm really looking for, I really want like a pet care franchise, and I'll use a fitness franchise.
Right.
And they're looking at fitness businesses. Right. And then, you know, if you stop and think about it, there's, you know, fitness, maybe something else in health maybe gets you excited. So to like, kind of keep an open mind, you know, what's out there. And then I guess one last thing to get clear on is, do you want the bigger investment, you know, bricks and mortar, or do you want to do something that's lower investment, which is a little bit less risky, you know, something that's mobile, which I guess you guys are awesome because you have both options.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So franchisees can choose. So, you know, if it's mobile, it's like a lot less risky. So those are some things. And then just kind of overall, looking then like to make the decision, I would say take a really good look then once you get kind of narrowing it down to a handful or whatever it is. One of my biggest tips is to really look at the culture of the business.
Right.
And, you know, look at who's behind the business. And this is why it's so exciting talking to you, because with Dawn Mucci as the founder, I mean, she's rocking it as far as, you know, people seeing who's behind the business and, you know, what is it that makes her awesome. And not, I don't just mean her, but her and the team, like, you know, the culture of the company. So, you know, look at the culture. Are the franchisees happy? You know, I think at the end of the day, that's the number one clue as to whether it's a good franchise to invest in. Because if they're not profitable, they're probably not happy.
Right.
And if they're, you know, if there's no systems in place, people are probably not going to be happy because they're not going to be profitable. So all those other questions that I would also add in, I would say the number one thing is look at the culture. Like it tells a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And like you were saying and touching on with the culture here at Life Squad, we emphasize, you know, everyone's a superhero. And Dawn took something that was a pain point that, you know, back, you know, 17 years ago or more, when she had her own personal experience because her son got head lice, then she got it and there was absolutely no help. It started from her heart. Like she wanted to create something mm-hmm. that helped others so that they never had to feel what she felt. And at the same time, I have to say, because I started out as a nitpicker at Life Squad before I recognized.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then she recognized my skill set. And that's one thing that Dawn does. She recognizes your skill set and then she builds you from there. But everyone gets that at least a little bit of hands-on at Life Squad. So we understand all aspects of the business. And I tell you, the biggest reward for me is when, you know, you're taking away that pain point and the customers truly appreciate you. And that's what really, I think, drives our business to what it is today. Over 35, corporate and franchise locations across Canada. It's just because we take something that there's a need there. And then we just take it beyond that and just, like you said, and the culture is amazing. Everybody is happy, like what you were saying. So,
yeah,
it's true.
I'm dying to say one thing here that, like, people, okay, so we like the idea of life, I'm sure people don't go, oh, I'm passionate about likes.
Right.
So I just want to, because I said, you know, about being passionate about something, I love what you just said, because you're so right that, like, it might not be, I like to clarify this because I've said this in other interviews I've been on. It's not necessarily a passion for this thing itself. It can be a passion for what the purpose of the company is. And you've got such a strong purpose.
Right.
You know, with Life Squad. And not only purpose, but you could also, you know, have a passion for even that person behind the business. And that's why I love that Dawn puts herself out there like that. My earlier franchisor clients that I have, it's one of the things that I'm really pushing, and they appreciate it. You know, like they, I'm helping them come out of their shell and like make that first video or make that, you know, put themselves out there in a personal way rather than just behind the company, you know? And, so yeah, as a candidate or a franchise prospect to look and go, I want to align with that person because I believe in them. So that's where Dawn is clearly, like, she's just rocking that. So yeah, whether or not so for the record, you don't have to have passion for life.
Right.
Passion for the purpose works too.
Right. And we're all about giving back to the community, and it's the feeling.
Right.
When you get to experience that look of relief on someone's face and the feeling that they have, like the feeling you have and the feeling they have, that also drives the business too, is how you make people feel. And our business definitely takes something that had a negative stigma, head lice, and gives it such a positive spin and feel. So thank you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. The superhero theme and everything is very cool.
So what's coming up for you next, Angela? I know you're a busy lady.
Yeah. Well, I spend a lot of time, you know, one-on-one with clients on a day-to-day basis. I have clients all over North America, which is, I love. It's exciting. I've got, you know, a range of early franchisors to established franchisors with, you know, 100 units. So I spend a lot of time doing that. I've got the IFE International Franchise Expo kind of on my radar. I haven't actually committed it. It's at the end of May. I went 2 years ago and loved it. And I missed it last year. And it's on my radar. It's the next thing you might see me at on social media.
Oh, awesome.
And then after that, I've got a couple of opportunities where I'm going to franchise conferences, including yours in October, which I'm thrilled about, and having the opportunity to help inspire the franchisees to, you know, really, like we talked earlier, own their business, own their marketing, get excited about what they connected to, help them reconnect to the passion that they had initially. So I've got about three of those lined up. So that'll be my next kind of travels. And then in the fall, sort of the franchise conferences, this is kind of a circuit of those I might end up doing. So lots of travel, but also lots of client work.
Awesome. So how do people get a hold of you, Angela, if they want to learn more about who you are, what you're doing, get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I am all over social media. So right. Angela Cote, look me up, you know, on I think the three I'm most active on are LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.
Okay.
And I'd love for, if anybody wants to reach out, they can use messaging on any of those or angela@cultivateadvisors.com. I am thrilled to get on calls with people. You know, the great thing with Cultivate Advisors is if they do have some interest in, people do have some interest in how I help people, we actually offer a free 2-hour session, assuming it's a fit, we'll do a session to just kind of do some free advising and see if there's areas of opportunity where we can provide our ally if we work together. So don't be afraid to reach out. It's a very step-by-step process that, you know, we can just start with a phone call or just even chat on Messenger or whatever it is.
Awesome. Well, Angela, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and we'll have to have you back again in the near future.
I would love to, and it's been a total pleasure. I look forward to you know, keeping in touch and seeing where Life Squad goes. I mean, the other thing that's been super impressive is all the awards that the franchisee recognition awards. Is it like 7 years in a row from the CFA?
Oh yes, yep. And yeah, exactly. And every time we go, we're up for awards, and We keep winning awards, which, I mean, we try not to brag about it, but, you know, we do have quite a few under our belt, so.
Yeah, so I just look forward to seeing where things go.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you again very much, Angela, and thank you, listeners. Stay tuned for our next episode. We'll, you know, if you follow us on social media, on our Facebook pages, or right here on our website, you can visit lifesquad.com and visit our blog there, and we'll be posting this whenever we do a podcast from there on. So thanks again, and have a great day.